Hey, what's up, Cyclone Nation? Welcome to a new Cyclone Fanatic podcast on the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network. Today we go off the record with Iowa State head coach Steve Prohm. The off-the-record name, clearly we're on the record. If you're listening to it, it's because these are casual sit-down conversations. Off the cuff, it's meant to be a laid-back type of atmosphere. And I sat down with Coach Prohm on Wednesday afternoon in his office. The off-the-record series, as always, is brought to you by the Iowa Clinic and the Iowa Clinic Men's Center. They've been sponsors of ours at Cyclone Fanatic for years. And I love nothing more than endorsing good people and good quality companies. And the Iowa Clinic and the Iowa Clinic Men's Center are just that. If you've been referred to the Iowa Clinic through myself or Cyclone Fanatic over the years, let me know. It's always good to hear about men taking their health care seriously. Remember, you're not doing it for yourself. You're doing it for your kids, your future wife, no matter what stage of life you're in. Be a man. Go to the doctor. All right. My conversation with Steve Prohm today includes a look back on this year, Taylen Horton-Tucker, Lindell Wigginton, and the pros, next year's roster, some basketball philosophy stuff. I hope you guys enjoy it. Here you go, off the record with Steve Prohm.
Lawn care with unmatched service. Landscapes, custom designed. Sprinkler systems installed and serviced.
Thanks, Central Iowa, for 30-plus years of your support.
A-plus lawn and landscape.
Hey, guys, it's Williams. We'll get you back to your podcast here momentarily, but it's wanted to talk to you about eye care, of course, today. And my friends at Ames and Des Moines Eye Care, they meet your whole family's vision needs, and they did that to me about a year ago, where I got in and had my first eye exam since my childhood. Dr. Kruger was like, what are you doing, man? You got to come in and get your eyes checked more often. And I'm glad that I did. They found some stuff. They got me these designer glasses that I wear when I work now, when I'm creating content for you at CycloneFanatic.com. It has decreased my headaches incredibly. It's been fantastic. I didn't even know half the stuff that Dr. Kruger was telling me about. And I'm assuming if you're a middle-aged guy like me, you're probably in the same boat. Get in there to Ames and Des Moines Eye Care. Personalized eye care, designer eyewear. They've got same day, same week appointments, and they are really good people. And they help support us here at CycloneFanatic.com, the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network. It's Ames and Des Moines Eye Care. All right, up here at the SUCUP practice facility today, Iowa State head coach Steve Prohm. And it's got to be a nerve-wracking time, baby, on the way. Doing all right?
Monday, ready to go, man. So we're excited. My wife's a trooper, and my kids are both really excited. And so Monday will be a great day and have our third child.
That's do you like being able to schedule it? Or would you rather like it be like, oh, honey, yeah, it's 2 a.m., we got to go?
You know what? We haven't. All three of them ended up being scheduled. Cass, you know, we hadn't gone. She hadn't gone to labor, and we ended up, you know, scheduling that. If we haven't gone to labor by this date, then we're going in to be induced, and then you know, the first two have kind of come the same way, and now this one. So it makes it a lot easier. At least you know a schedule. You know, so we've got kind of a set schedule going into Monday.
Do the kids know that another one's coming?
Yeah, like,
do they grasp it?
Yeah, they do. I talked to Cass about it this morning, so. He probably grasps a lot better than Francie does, but both of them are fired up, and somehow the kid's name is Floppy right now, because that's all, for some reason, they started calling.
Is that like a character from a show or something?
I don't know how they got it, but
interesting.
Anytime we told them about the real names we were thinking about, they got all upset, and they said, no, we're calling him Floppy, so that's his name.
I was talking to somebody on my way in today about how different like your job is now compared to like when Tim Floyd was not in this office, because this building didn't exist, but with the news earlier this week about Taylen, and that wasn't unexpected, we all anticipated that, but is it how different is this world compared to when you first got into coaching with, you know, there's so many transfers on the market, and anybody can go pro, like literally anybody can, and they can get an agent now and still come back. It's just crazy, like this time of year in your life.
Yeah, you can test the waters if you wanted to.
Yeah,
I mean, you can try it. I don't know if you'll get drafted.
I don't think I will.
Talen's got a better chance.
Yeah, I think he does as well.
But you know, it is. It's very different, and you know, it can put you kind of, you know, in limbo a little bit. But you know, first and foremost, it's great for kids. Talen's got an unbelievable opportunity. He's got a bright, bright future ahead of him. And I told him all season long, if it comes down the pipe to where you think and we think that you could be a top 20, 25 pick, then you really need to look hard at taking this step and moving forward. And so, and that's his thought process right now. He's still in school. He's still finishing classes and all that stuff. So he has opportunities if something didn't go perfect. But it's really good for him and his family. He had a great freshman year, impacted us, had a really breakout party in Maui. I thought he was terrific in Maui and really got on the scene nationally, I think, in Maui. And I think this team did too, going out to Maui and playing really well simultaneously. But there is a lot of things that, you know, like we were talking off air, it's, man, you know your roster for, you know, 2, 3, 4 years. And it really didn't start until kind of like mid-90s where guys were really leaving school early. You know, Duncan was that last one to kind of stay through.
Yeah,
I think it was 95, his senior year. But that's when, you know, when I was in college, kid Antonio McDice was in 95, left as a sophomore
him.
And was
the Nuggets
pick in the draft.
Right? Or the Mavs.
Went to the Clippers and got traded to the Nuggets, but spent the majority of his time with Denver.
Yeah.
You know, that's when guys, and you had Vince Carters and Rasheed Wallace's and Kevin Garnett's coming out of high school. And that's when that all trend really, really started. But before that, you know, you knew you were going to have guys for, you know, for sure 3 or 4 years. But this is great for them. You know, the biggest thing that you have to prepare for, though, is if they leave, to make sure you've got a competitive roster going forward. And, you know, whether it's Lindell, you know, over the next, you know, week, or Talen, and that would really be it, just those two. Tyrese is I don't even think he's going to go test the waters at all. It's just where we're at with our game right now, to where now you can sign with agents. They can give you transportation. They can give you meals, lodging, as you go through your workouts. The landscape of the game has really changed. And so it makes it a little different. It makes it difficult at times, but at the end of the day, it's great for a guy like Talen, Lindell, to get out there and be able to push the envelope and see how far they can go professionally, but with still having the options to come back to school.
The guys you do have coming back, though, I know that you – I don't know. Let me ask you about the tournament. When you get eliminated from the tournament, are you the type of guy who's like watching every game, or do you have a hard time watching?
I didn't watch for a little bit, and then I watched a little of Sweet 16, but I watched a lot of the Elite Eight. I thought those games were really good.
They're incredible.
That's the first year we've been knocked out in the first round, and as myself as a coach, and you know, really NCAA, NIT, you know, the times that I've been a part of that as a head coach, it's the first time we got knocked down the first round. And so, man, it ends so quick and so suddenly. And the way we played in Kansas City, you know, I didn't even have the words to talk to the guys at the end of the right words, because I saw such a bigger picture as we were going down the stretch of the season there. But, you know, I did. I wanted to watch Texas Tech play Gonzaga. I was really excited to watch that game, you know, really two contrasted styles. And then the Texas Tech Michigan game, you know, the crazy thing is, you know, we played Texas Tech really, really well back from Little Rock my first year here when we played Beard and them, to now, you know, going against Tech there. We've played them well. And so I like to just see how people, other teams attack them, you know, at their defense, because they are so good defensively. But, you know, they've had an amazing year. But you really look at those four teams, and somebody put something out, just how experienced all those teams are, the fifth-year guys, the seniors. You know, I think only one or two teams start freshmen. But the one common thing you look at those teams is they got great toughness. They defend, you know, and you know, they're really together. And obviously they're led by terrific coaches, and should be a fantastic Final Four. I mean, Michigan State and Texas Tech's going to be a physical game. And then on the other end, you got Virginia and Auburn. That's two totally contrasting styles, where one wants to really go and shoot threes, and the other one wants to control tempo. But so it should be a great weekend. But I watched the Final Four games. The national championship game, I'll probably have tougher time watching
because you're going to be in a hospital or something.
Yeah, I'll be with my wife, and I probably don't need to do that.
Yeah. So Tech goes into Kansas City and loses to the 10th seed.
Yeah.
And they're in the Final Four. You guys won the thing, and you got knocked out in the first round. So this always breeds, like, the conference tournament conversation, like, oh, should you tank in the conference tournament to get time off? And I'm of the opinion, because I've experienced it so much, like, you can't replace those memories and that momentum. Like, the lobby in Kansas City in the hotel after y'all come back, I mean, that's a deal. Taylen Horton Tucker can be the next LeBron, and he's always going to remember that, right? And, like, to me, like, I think that's overplayed every year, because now there's like, Tech got knocked out early and they got all this rest. But I would guess Chris Beard would trade that to be able to cut down the nets, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure Chris would have loved to win the regular season, the conference tournament, and then go to the Final Four. I mean, they had an emotional game here. To win the regular season, and so that first game was going to be extremely tough for them. And I didn't watch a lot of the game, but they didn't look like the same Texas Tech team from what I heard that night than they had looked for basically majority or pretty much most of the year. But I mean, the Duke won the ACC and they went to the Elite Eight. And
how many times have we seen that, in the old Big East tournament when they had the Syracuse that one year? They played on Wednesday and then they ended up in like the Final Four or something. UConn did that.
Yeah, UConn ran the table and then went on, won the national championship, won their last nine games. And then some people say, well, the conference tournaments, maybe they don't mean as much. Go watch when other teams, go watch when Kansas won the last one, how they were fist pumping.
Oh, yeah.
Go watch Baylor when they won it. Go look at the ACC tournament when people talking about Duke and the run they had there. And I don't know if the tournament was in Charlotte or Greensboro, wherever it was, the emotion of Coach Krzyzewski and that team. And so what our guys were able to do in Kansas City against three really good teams, Baylor, Kansas State in Kansas City, and Kansas in Kansas City, to go there and beat those three teams in three consecutive days and be four conference tournament titles in 6 years.
It's awesome.
That's unbelievable. And obviously that goes back to Fred and a lot of those guys from, Kane and Edgem and Niang and all those guys, that are part of those teams on to, Morris and Long and Thomas and Burton and then, Wigginton and Shayok and Babb and, Jacobson and all those guys. It's unbelievable run.
It's a great part of Iowa State basketball's legacy. Is like defending that Hilton South. I mean, that's a deal where I think if you drew like a big mural of what Iowa State basketball is, Kansas City and those Nets are a giant part of it.
Yeah, it's got to be. And I don't know how long it's been over in Kansas City.
It was always
the last how many years? I don't know how many.
Yeah, it bounced around. It was in Dallas one year. They had it in Oklahoma City a few years, but predominantly the home over the course has been in Kansas City.
Yeah, and so that's why everybody, it's in Kansas City. That's why. Well, we haven't won it 14 out of the last 16. We've won it 4 out of the last 6. And so give credit to Edgem and Niang and Morris and Burton and those guys, Shayok and Wigginton and those guys for going over there and being the best team that weekend. And that place is a lot of fun.
It's the best.
And there's nothing like that locker room or really for me just, being with your family afterwards and watching those guys on the podium get that trophy. And then when the Big 12 version of One Shining Moment, they play that and it's called Live Your Dream. Man, that's what you want as a coach. And you only have so many opportunities to win a championship. You have obviously you have these preseason tournament championships, but I'm talking about for rings, where you're playing for rings and for connection, for like lifelong connection and legacy. You have your regular season, which Texas Tech won.
And then you got the tournament, which we won. And then now you've got the national championship you're playing for. And so, you know how much it means. Go watch the highlight clips of teams, other teams when they won, and how,
yeah,
you know, whether it's Duke or how much it means to those people. And, you know, the ACC, you know, crazy enough, if you go back and look at the history of the ACC, the person that they crown as the true tournament champion of the league is the one who won the tournament.
Really?
Yeah. If you go back and look at the history of the ACC, they've always kind of recognized that. Because I grew up in Virginia, so I kind of always followed the ACC, and the Big East is what I kind of grew up on before I moved south to Georgia. You know, and then back in the day, you had to win your conference tournament to even get in the NCAA tournament.
That the Thursday, Friday of the conference tournaments, I won't say they're better than the NCAA tournament, because those are pretty sacred days.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, if I had to, like, I think I would really enjoy – I've always have to work those days. So I think that – because you could watch literally every conference.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's something special, too, about the familiarity, like, watching these teams all meet for the third time. I like that aspect of it, at least. Like, because, like, with you and Kansas State, it was a rubber match, right?
Yep.
With you and Baylor, it was is it the cliche of beating it's hard to beat a team three times?
Yep.
Or, you know, like, there's just all these storylines that I love about it. The tournament brings storylines as well, but it's pretty unknown when you get into the round of 64.
Yep, and we all know each other so well when you go there. But the one biggest thing I'll say to the Big 12 tournament is when you do flip around your channels and you look at the ACC, the SEC, Big 10, all these, Pac-12, Big East, man, the Big 12 tournament is so special.
Yeah.
I mean, the Sprint Center is phenomenal. Kansas City does an amazing job. Majority of our fan bases, 1 through 10 in our league, travel really well there, to where when you flip on the 7-10 game or 8-9 game or the 1-8 game at 2 o'clock on Thursday, it's packed.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah, it's packed,
and
it's a tough ticket.
You know, that's what makes that tournament so good, and I think our league does such a great job. You know, it should be in Kansas City right there, you know, forever, just because it's just a great location to where basically seven or eight of those teams can get there within, you know, 3 to 8 hours.
Can we do a little bit on guys coming back?
Yeah,
you good on that?
Yep.
Is Jacobson the leader of next year's team? He kind of seemed like he grabbed it.
Yeah, I think we'll have a couple guys. I think Prentice Nixon will take
it. Yeah, he's the guy who everybody wants to hear about.
I think he'll take a big leadership role. Obviously, Mike had a lot of success this year and has good toughness and character, and so I think he'll have a good leadership role. And then I think Halliburton, Tyrese, you know, leadership's in his DNA. And
yeah.
So I think he's got to play a big part in that.
I met his dad in Kansas City. I see where he gets it.
Oh, man.
Yes. That guy is contagious with energy, and it's a very good energy.
Oh, man. He's I could tell you, I don't know how long this podcast is, so we have to do another one, but we could get him on here, and he would love it.
He's an inspiring guy.
He would eat it up, and he's been he's great. And I've got so many funny stories from recruiting Tyrese to where he's a character, to say the least. But he's a great supporter of our program and of Tyrese, and he's very proud and should be of his son. But he's got a lot of energy, you know, and that's energy's contagious. You know, he's got his Halliburton 22 shirt that he carries and wears. But I think we've got those three, you know, right off the top of my head. Solomon Young is kind of a leader by example. And then, you know, I like the young guys like George Conant. I think he's going to take a major, major step going into this year. I'm really looking forward to seeing, you know, how much he can grow.
What about Halliburton's game needs to not necessarily change, but develop from year one to year two? Because I know you keep wanting him to shoot more.
Yeah.
And let's just, I mean, with the guys gone who are graduating, and assuming you lose one or maybe two or whatever, you're going to need him to step up as a scorer, right?
He's going to have to score more.
Yeah.
I don't have stats in front of me right now, but his assist to turnover ratio as a freshman, to have the number of assists he had and never play the point position, basically, I don't know if he was the two or the three. I mean, you could call him either one, mm-hmm. but we played four guards, and so yeah. he's running a wing, Mariel's running a wing when you look at the starters. Unbelievable assist to turnover ratio, great, great feel for the game. The thing he's got to get do a great job of this summer and spring and summer is obviously improve on his body, improve on his shot, and then work, you know, on ball screens to be more aggressive, because he'll have the – if Lindell's returns, obviously he's the point guard. Mm-hmm. If he doesn't return, then you've got to probably move Tyrese over to that position. And, you know, obviously more than capable, great feel for the game, can really get people involved. But the point guard position, you know, I've always liked that guy to be aggressive and look to score at times. And obviously Tyrese can really make shots, but – you know, got to get him to put pressure on the defense too as well. But he's a worker. He's in here all the time. Like I said, he's got great character, great toughness, and really looking forward to the improvements that he can make this spring and summer.
Condit told me he came in at 205. He was up to 222. Told me he wanted to be 230 by the end of the summer. What's year two of George Condit look like? Under best case scenario,
I think he becomes a name everybody in the country knows about. The ability to really protect the basket,
yeah,
to really run the floor, really understands pick and roll offense, flipping screens, twisting screens, re-screening, and then making tough plays. And he's got great energy, and he's got great character and toughness to him. There's only one game I can remember where I threw him out. There, where I said, man, he's not ready tonight.
Mm-hmm.
From Ohio State to the Kansas game, big guys, smaller guys, I thought the way he competed was terrific. And
he was great in Kansas City.
Yep. Yeah. And, you know, should he have played more? Could he have played more? Probably, you know. But I thought he had a really good freshman year, and I think he has a chance with his work ethic this spring and summer to be a guy that takes a huge step for himself and for our program, because I think he can, you know, we got to get him a kind of a go-to move around the basket, continue work on his perimeter jump shot and, you know, some ball skills on the perimeter and, you know, when we try to spread the floor. But defensively, man, I think he's a game changer, that he can really protect the basket, and that's huge.
Nixon, you know, I haven't really seen him play. All I know is he was recruited by Larry Eustace, and he played for Larry Eustace, and that tells me he's got to be tough
mm-hmm.
to have the numbers he did under Larry.
Yeah, he's going to bring immediate toughness to the perimeter on defense. You know, he's going to guard the opponent's best perimeter player, 1, 2, 3, whoever that is. He can really, really get into the ball. He can get through ball screens. He can draw charges. He got a great toughness about him. And we saw the sit-out Prentice, so obviously now when he's playing, I think it always going to ramp up another level.
Mm-hmm.
And the good thing, too, is he's a guy who can really make threes. And, you know, so you got two of your perimeter guys right now, and I'm kind of the, hey, you know, you look at Lindell or Taylen to where, hey, just kind of put them off to the side right now. So he's looking at returning guys like Tyrese, Prentice. Those are guys that can make shots right now from three, so that's a great thing. But Prentice can make shots. You know, he can, you know, he has the ability to score some as well, but the biggest, the intangibles that he brings to our team are going to be huge.
A guy I think a lot of people are curious about is Zion at the end of the bench. We just didn't get to see a lot of him this year, but I know that he got dinged up last summer.
Yep.
And it sounded like the whole time it was just kind of slow to get him back, and he never could quite crack the rotation.
Yeah, he's a guy, you almost as a coach, you feel bad. It's like, all right, man, he should have redshirted this year.
Yeah.
You know, and I told him that, and I apologize for that. But the situation that we were dealt with, we had eight guys, mm-hmm. and so there was no room for redshirts. We had four out, and we had a guy sitting out, so we had five guys out. We started the season with eight guys.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think people, you know, I think if you really look at what those eight guys were able to do to start the season and maintain and get our name out there through Maui and beating Missouri. And obviously we had a tough game at Iowa, but I thought what those guys were able to do was huge for this team to be able to get off to an 18-5 start. And Zion was a part of that. You know, he played a little bit, had great energy, but I just think the injuries kind of set him back to start.
Yeah.
And then when we got our roster back in tow, you know, he kind of took the back seat. And then once you start going with the season and start moving quick, you know, if you're not playing, sometimes you can, you know, kind of get behind a little bit with some things. And so he's a great kid. I thought every time we did throw him in, his energy was great. Energy in practice was really good. He's got to take the time this spring and summer to get his body right, get bigger and stronger. And then we just got to work on his right hand and his skill level, because he's really a perimeter forward for us for the way we want to play. He's a guy that can stretch the defense, so we just got to continue to work on his shot to where he feels good from three and can be consistent. And I think he's a guy with a good spring and summer can help us at that four spot next year.
When I look at the roster next year right now, because we know what Solomon can bring to the table. We've all seen it. I think we know what Condit can be, and we know what Jacobson is. Do you look into playing a couple bigs at the same time more next year? Or is that just something you just don't want to do?
No, I'll look at it. I'll look at it. We'll work on it this summer.
Yeah.
We'll do it some in spring and some skill workouts. We'll work on a couple. There's really three main things we do if we're big,
mm-hmm.
things that I did when I was at Murray State, you know, when we played big. And back there I played two-thirds of the game big and a third of the game small. Here, you know, it's the last couple years. You know, when you're playing George at the four my first year, you're really playing small and big.
Yeah.
Because
he's such a hybrid.
Yeah. Burton, you know, you're almost playing small, but he can play, you know, but he plays big.
Yeah.
This year we were more true, just, hey, man, we're playing four guards out there because Taylen's really just a guard. I think next year we got to be ready to do both, and we'll do that. That's a great thing about going to Italy this summer. We can get some extra practice.
Oh, I forgot you had that this summer.
And
great,
so,
yeah.
You know, whether it's George and Mike and Solo and George, I think we've got to look at some things offensively that we can do with a big lineup. But if we do that, then I think there's some things defensively, in case we play a team like an Iowa State that's going to play four guards,
yeah.
and try to spread you out, that we can counter with defensively. And whether that's with more three-quarter court pressure, whether that's with being better in our zone coverages or zone defense, we've got to take this summer and to really look at that. But I think you've got to right now think about, hey, we could possibly play big, you know, 10, 15 minutes a game next year.
Dumb basketball question for you, okay? You probably get this one from fans every once in a while. But I have to watch Iowa a lot with my radio job, and I did a lot of the Iowa State women's games this year, and it kept coming up where, like, I would notice Iowa would get down, and then they'd slap on this press, and then they would always miraculously make some comeback to get back in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a lot of Big 12 women's teams do that to the Iowa State women this year. And I always wonder, like, why are coaches so stubborn to not press more? I've always wondered that, because, and I've asked Billy, I always was hammering Billy about it. And he's like, well, but if you know that you're going to get pressed, then you can prepare for it and it's not a big deal. Is it as simple as that? Because I always watch these games and I'm like, come on, slap on the press.
Yeah. You know, I think the biggest thing is, you know, trying to change tempo.
Yeah.
You know, trying to speed people up. And then the other thing is trying to turn people over. But if we're playing, just for example, say, you know, Ohio State or Virginia or Baylor, somebody that wants to really control tempo.
They want to be in the 300s.
Okay.
Tempo.
Or Kansas State. You know, just because you're pressing them, whether it's three-quarter court pressure or half court, you know, kind of 1-2-2, whatever it may be, that doesn't mean that once they get it across half court that they're going to shoot it. Because if you're trained, you know what I mean, to get it back out, and we're going to run, get ball reversal, and then that's what they're going to do. And so sometimes trying to speed people up, you know, it's not as easy as people think from that standpoint, mm-hmm. to where, especially if they get a lead, like Ohio State jumps out 9-2. Well, they got the tempo right there, right away.
It's like a 16-2 lead against, you know, a team that plays fast. Yeah,
because they can now. Now they're comfortable walking up. But if they're down 9-2, that's what's going to speed them up. Not necessarily pressure, but being down 9-2, because now their shots are going to be quicker. You know, now they are going to maybe take a contested three instead of moving around for a little bit better three or a post feed. But you know, I thought our three-quarter court pressure was good for us at times this year.
Yeah.
I don't think we turn people over here and there, but
to change tempo at times or just, you know, take some time off the shot clock at times. But it's like what he's saying is, you know, what Coach Finley from that standpoint is like, you know, West Virginia, like you are prepping for that.
Yeah.
You are prepping for Baylor's zone. And West Virginia's press is unique. I mean, that is all out all the time. This year they didn't. They kind of got away from it just because, you know, personnel, I guess, driven. You know, Coach Huggins got away from it like they had in the past. But it is something we need to look at, especially next year if we are going to play big, to where, you know, three-quarter court. The thing you got to be able to live with, though, if you're going to play like that is – can you sell out to giving up easy baskets? Are you okay with that if people get easy baskets at the end?
You don't seem like a guy who's good at selling out easy baskets.
Yeah, I'd rather. I mean, in the core, I mean, you'd rather. I'd rather be more three quarter to half court, to where just be really fundamentally sound and tough half court defensively.
Yeah.
And man, we got to where, you know, this year we were good defensively for a good stretch. I mean, we weren't elite, but we were good. We were top 25. I mean, there's only seven programs at the end of January that were top 25 in both offense and defense.
Yeah.
And we were one of those seven. That's what killed us this in February. You can spin all these different scenarios did the guys get into it or whatever, like I was talking with Travis Hines earlier. We were talking, you know, in an interview with him. We weren't very good defensively. Yeah. Our offense has finished ninth in the country, but defensively in that stretch, we dropped in the 70s, you know. Then we go win in Kansas City, but go look at those three games in Kansas City. We were elite defensively down there, and we were really tough.
So here's where a guy like me usually disagrees with a guy like you that I've come to notice over the years.
That's okay.
You know Jess Settles?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. The name. I don't know about the name.
So he does analysis for the Big Ten Network, and he's on my show every Monday. And we always have debates because I have kind of an analytical brain where I never played at that level. And so all coaches and players and former players don't really buy into the three-point defense being random.
Because
you guys are all like, no, we got to put more pressure on them. And yep. But like if you talk to like Ken Pomeroy, like it's all pretty much random when it comes to that. So like that was down the stretch. I'm like, man, you were all like in your press conferences, like we got to play better. We got to close out better. We got to do all this. And then I'm just like, no, they're just making all these shots.
You know, you look at
where do you stand there?
A little bit in the middle.
Okay.
I mean, I look at analytics a lot more now than I used to. Ken Pom, I look at Ken Pom all the time. More so just to really say, all right, Baylor's strength is A, B, and C. Their weakness is D, E, and F.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you go to, just say, use West Virginia, for example. You go there, they're not a great three-point shooting team. You know,
and they just go crazy.
And they shoot 40% from three. But part of that is they're shooting wide-open shots and they're Division I players. They got a lot better chance going in.
They have scholarships, too.
Yeah, than they do going in 30% of the time if they're contested.
Yeah.
But also you have the ones to where, hey, we're at TCU. You know, we're up five, and Noy hits one from his hip in the deep far corner to cut it to two.
Yeah.
You know, that's a huge shot. Then you got one where the game's tied, minute to go, whoever makes the next shot is probably going to win the game. And they hit a contested three. And Baylor, we're down two here, and they come off a ball screen, and we don't close up high enough, and they make a big shot. And so part of that is, you know, percentages, and part of that's you got to defend better. But – I would look at the three-point shot more at, man, I've got to go back and watch to see if we defend it the right way because, man, you should be able to make open shots at this level if you're playing.
And a lot of them, too, for you guys during that stretch, I felt like we're on second-chance opportunities, too.
You look at – I mean, you go back and look at the TCU game to start the second half here. I mean, both their first threes were on second-chance opportunities.
Yeah.
I mean, down the stretch, Ohio State, I mean – when we had the game back kind of even, man, what they killed us with was the glass, the last 5 minutes, man. They dominated us, you know, right there in the paint, second chance opportunities. And so, you know, you can look at a lot of things. Everybody punches these numbers now. A lot of people are analytics guys. A lot of people are not.
It's usually somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, it's somewhere in the middle, I think, at the end of the day. But I think you've got to look at all of it. You got to watch your tape.
Yeah.
And then you got to look at Ken Pom and these other analytics to see, hey,
you know, what do we do well? You know, what do we not do well? Because they are punching numbers when they look at it. So yeah. Some of it's obviously got to be true.
The one thing I've kind of picked up on, too, I've really watched Virginia closely this year. I like Tony a lot. I've just kind of been an admirer of his for a decade or so. And a lot of people think it's really boring basketball. I've come to really appreciate it more, though, just in the sense that I feel like you would probably appreciate this as a coach. I kind of view the game more of like through the coach's lens now than I probably did 10 years ago. It's probably because I've gotten older. But those guys are so in sync. Like you talked about the discipline. They don't have chuckers.
No.
Like that to me, like in the year 2019 with the AAU culture and all this stuff, it's really it's got to be hard to play that style and to get the right amount of players who will buy into it, right? It's fascinating to me watching them play because these guys don't really care about their stats and stuff.
Yeah, he's the best of the best, and he you know, Coach Finley had a quote this year. I guess his team was wear it right. Like he wears it right in every aspect. You know, the things that I talk about that I think important of a foundation of a player and a person, spiritually, socially, academically, athletically. He does it. He checks all the boxes. Winning is fun. You know. There's nothing,
no matter how you do it,
nothing boring with winning. And sometimes you gotta, you know, that Ohio State game was ugly, but if Nick makes a shot and we go to overtime, we win in overtime as an ugly game, but we won't, you know.
But then we're all talking about how gritty the Cyclones were to hang on and pull it out.
And so, you know, what Tony's been able to do, I mean, he's got his system offensively, and they're very, very efficient in what they do. I mean, they're top five in offense and defense. Very, very efficient. I still think they win on the defensive end.
Yeah.
But offensive, they're very, very efficient. And when they're making shots, obviously they're really tough to guard. Everybody knows their roles. They do a great job of, you know, of making sure it gets the third side, screening, guys that can make shots. And then they've got a couple really, you know, Hunter, and they got some good pieces too.
Isn't that why we love the college game, though? Because, you know, in the NBA, it's pretty much one style. You got threes, dunks, you know, there's no, like, but when the college game gives us Auburn versus Virginia in the final, and it's like, holy crap, something's got to happen here.
Yeah.
You know, somebody has to win out.
Yeah. And I think that's what makes this game the best game there is. It's just college basketball. You've got so many different styles and so many styles that can win, whether it's Auburn and fast-paced offense or Virginia and Auburn and basically fast-paced offense and defense with their pressing. Virginia with half-court, everything is half-court offense and defense. Michigan State is offensive pace and tough-minded defensively and rebound and half-court toughness. And then you got Texas Tech that wins with unbelievable approach on the defensive end and very efficient offensively. You know, they don't run a lot of stuff. They run their motion and they get the ball to Culver. You know, but they've got, you know, as you go forward, you look at, you know, Matt Mooney's had a phenomenal year. He's got a chance to, you know, I think make a lot of money playing. And Tariq Owens has been huge for them. And then obviously Culver. But all those teams, man, like I said, it's toughness. When you're really watching and break it down, when you're watching these teams, man, great toughness.
You recently got an extension. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Coach Finley just got one as well. So the basketball offices are very stable here.
Yep.
At Iowa State. Why are you so in love with this place? I mean, I'm sure that you had some other opportunities that you could have explored, and you wanted to stay at Iowa State. What's the situation?
Man, I'm big into, first and foremost, Jamie's been phenomenal to me. You know, I think even in the stretch that we didn't play great this year, he was awesome with me, and that meant a lot. But I'm into, like, you know, I was at Murray State for 10 years. You know, if you look at my track record, I was at Southeastern Louisiana for 6 years and Murray State for 10 years. I want to get somewhere and really make an impact and really be invested in that community, in that school, in the players, in the former players.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think it's about.
I don't think it's about, I'm not one of those guys, hey, man, let me see if I could try to get this job or try to get this job. Like, that's not what I ever got in this business for. I would never have thought I'd be where I'm at today. Iowa State presents unbelievable fan base, great administration, best league in the country. We've had great success over the last 8 years from Fred into now. So, you know, why not here? Why not want to be here when you got a great community? My son's favorite color's red.
There you go.
You know what I mean? It's just, but his favorite color's red because he grew up, I think, just here, yeah. You know, and so.
He was just a baby when you got the job.
And so, so when you know what you want, there's no reason to mess around with other stuff or to explore or, you know, this is where I want to be. I want to be the best coach I can here. Hopefully it's good enough, you know, for people to be excited and happy and satisfied, and that I can be here for a long time to where, you know, you can be one of the greats to come through here, and this can be one of the greatest times of Iowa State basketball. But when you're looking at a job, and this is, you have other opportunities before you get here or while you're here, it really comes down to what do you want,
mm-hmm.
you know? And as a college basketball coach, for me, you want a great college town. You want a place that's going to come out every night and support you. You want to work for really good people. You want great relationships with other coaches that you work with, Matt, Coach Finley, Christy, Kevin Dresser, whoever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
And then you want to be in a town that you feel comfortable raising your family and that your kids can grow up in. And like I said, and you can have an impact. And so this has everything. And then you also, my thing too, the way I've come up through this business, I worked for my boss for 12 years before I got my first opportunity out of my 13 years as an assistant. I think loyalty in this business, I take that very, very serious. And Jamie gave me my opportunity. And so, you know, I've got a great deal of loyalty to this place and to him.
It seems, I really admire that. It seems rare in this day and age. Not to talk down on your business.
No, I mean, the business is what it is. Everybody knows what the business is like. And so, you know, that's why, you know, that's what this is a, you know, I've been really lucky. I've been a head coach at two places and, you know, not to talk about Murray State, but it's really like a mini Iowa State.
Yeah.
That's what it really is.
It. I get
it's just
it.
Because what do you sell at Murray State, right?
I mean, if fans, you went, right?
That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all you got. I mean, there's when I first got there, the only restaurants you could go to eat at is Applebee's and Cracker Barrel.
Mm.
And so you've got two things to sell. You walk into they got a great arena, and you can walk in there and sell all this tradition, and then you've got people that are unbelievably passionate about Murray State. And so now you come – so when you're looking to leave there, it's like, well, you better have a lot of similarities because if not, you're going to be frustrated. So when you look at Iowa State and you say, hey, we're going to play in front of 14,000 every single night. We're going to be on ESPN through our whole conference season, let alone three-quarters of the offseason – excuse me, three-quarters of the non-conference. You know, and you've got a fan base that really lives and dies with what you do and – people know about Hilton Magic. I watched Hilton Magic. And like I said, I always said is when this job opened up, I was driving to Paducah to take my wife on our anniversary date. And when it opened up, I said to her, I said, man, now that's one place I would leave here for because it's got all the things that I want. And
you would have a hard time based off of my conversations with you going to some bigger name or whatever, but it's not a basketball like where it's not valued.
Yeah, how could you when you walk out there in January and you got, you know, 7,000 people? I mean,
it's sad to me because I remember I love Lon Kruger. Everybody knows that who listened to me, but they don't get the crowd anymore. And like I remember there in Stillwater used to just be crazy.
Yeah.
And I've gone to games there to cover them, and I'm like, you realize how fortunate Iowa State is to have the support and its fan base with Hilton. It's a whole different deal.
Yeah, it's incredible.
I mean, I was down at your Texas game this year. It's another example.
Yeah, and even in a in you know, even like senior day, you know, when we do our speeches at the end, you know, to have out of a, you say you had 13,000 or 14,000 there that day, to still have about 10,000 stay.
Yeah.
After a loss.
That was cool.
That doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. And so I tell everybody this. I tell our guys all the time, man, on Tuesdays and Wednesday nights, if we're not playing, turn on TV on and see what the crowds are like at these other schools.
Does a experience, I was wondering this, does an experience like Kansas City or anything in Hilton, where I say Kansas City because the guys are mingling with the fans so much. Like I saw George Condit taking pictures with 50 kids.
Yeah.
And Lindell, any of them. Does that change a guy? Like, because you always talk about playing for the people and for Iowa State. You say that all the time. Do those experiences help you when you're trying to push that on the team?
Man, I hope so. I hope so. It's got to
just
got to
see
resonate
the actual
somewhere.
People who are spending money to go watch him play.
That, and then as big as that is, Naz Long being there.
Yeah.
And then talking to the team afterwards.
That was cool.
I'm talking to the team afterwards, and you having your championship moment, and then I start, you know, and I'm soaking wet, and Naz is over there, so I said, man, you talk to the team for a minute. And so I start introducing him, and Taylan goes, hey, coach, man, we know who he is. So I was like, all right, man, Naz, come over here. And then some of the former guys kind of being jealous, like, man, I wish I was there, you know. But, you know, this is a unique place. I mean, it really is. I mean, I've said it. Everybody knows it. You know, that's where the pressure comes from to win and be successful, because you want to continue to move the needle, but do it the right way.
Yeah.
You know, but Kansas City is phenomenal. I mean, there's nothing like it. I mean, it's – and then to be able to win the two of the last 3 years, it's almost – it's crazy. And like I said, four out of the last six, you know, that speaks volumes of the thing of the program and the players.
Yeah, I just think that – I don't know. Like if you're struggling with a guy to buy in to the culture and all that stuff, like I figure – I don't know. Maybe I'm just too like small-town Iowa, but like – five or six little kids wearing your jersey coming up, and
I mean, it's got
to. Picture. It has to get into these guys'
heads. It's got to. When, I mean, you're cutting the nets down and you've got.
That's why Naz and George were Naz and George. It wasn't because they were just born Cyclone fans. Yeah. These guys were from Canada and Northeast United States.
Boston, and this is just such a. The fan base is unbelievable. And so you hope that. You hope it helps. You know, George knows that. George's dad played football here. You know, Mike's from, you know, Des Moines, but you hope it resonates, you know, with your guys, because that's at the end of the day, man, if you're playing and you really got an investment in Iowa State, you know, man, you got a chance every night, and that's the biggest thing. That's why I said I've been really lucky to be at somewhere, two places that it meant something to put that jersey on, and it meant a lot to those people there, you know, and so – that's what thing you just, you know, as a player and a coach, you don't want to let those people down because there is a huge investment.
Well, congrats on a really solid season. Congrats on the extension and best of luck on the spring period. I know that it's got to be nerve wracking because there's a lot of moving parts.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts, and you really got to just kind of go day by day. If you start going, and I'm always trying to plan a week, two, three, 4 weeks out. If you start doing that, man, I think you can really start. I think you just go today. Hey, where are we at today, and where do we want to go for tomorrow? I like the core we got coming back. You know, Taylan obviously has announced, and we'll support the heck out of him, and Lindell will. You know, I would assure he's gonna, you know, go through the process as well, and we'll support the heck out of him, and then whatever's best for those guys will be, you know, be decided by them and their families, and then we'll go forward. And if they do move on, we've got, obviously that's a lot of points you gotta replace, and then we've just got to try to figure that out here in the spring. If not, if they're back, then obviously I think you look at a roster that has a lot of really good returning pieces.
Appreciate it, Coach. Go enjoy being dad.
Thank you.
Best of luck with all that. And
I will say this, man. This is like the clearest. This is the best headphones I've ever put on. These are
like
the most. Yeah. Is this a shout out to a sponsor or anything? Or
no?
I mean, these are like these are high level.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we only do the best at Cyclone Fanatic. We don't slack off at all. Thanks, Coach. Appreciate
all right. Thanks, guys.
All
right.